Tonight we are joined by Don Duncan. He is a security engineer with New Data Security. Don, it is such a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Don, you have a really firm grasp on a new-ish technology, something that we're really starting to see here in Canada called open banking. Can you explain a little bit for us about what open banking is?
Open banking, in a general sense, and it's being driven actually out of the Europe and the UK, really allows banks to open up their financial institutions so that those services can be consumed and exposed to consumers so that other banking services can be provided by other parties.
So is this like an API kind of idea? Are we looking at an application programming interface? Or?
Exactly. And that's what the discussion is. And banks are going to be publishing those APIs for their individual institutions. And the exciting thing about this is that there's lots of opportunities because, again, having the ability for those large banks to engage with other parties means that it will be interesting to see what services come out.
That's cool. Now, you mentioned European banks. How do banks here in Canada, you know, how do we fall behind? How do we differ from banks around the world as far as, you know, what services are being offered? And how does open banking change things for us here in Canada?
Well, in Canada, I think we do a pretty good job. And when I say we, the existing banks are very responsive to their existing consumers. When you look at the mobile and web applications, the ability, the way you have the means to pay. What's happening in the UK and Europe is by making this a regulation that is, they're essentially setting the standard. And that standard everybody's really looking to say, okay, how can we take that standard and use it in our own backyard?
Okay, so open banking, so understanding a little bit about this is this is like an API that allows other software developers to connect into banking infrastructure. How is that going to be, like, I think about the word open, and I immediately start thinking about open source, Linux, and the GNU image manipulation program. We talk a lot about open source alternatives here on the show. Banking, as far as the infrastructure goes, has traditionally been a very closed thing as far as us consumers are concerned. How does open banking relate to that kind of model of openness, if you will?
Sure. I think not so much on the technology level, but again, to your point about the APIs, open means accessible. So in many instances where a bank was a confined entity, by having those APIs, they have the ability to provide services through those APIs, and they now become more accessible, and that leads to exciting services that can be offered.
It sounds cool. So I do a lot of online sales. I do a lot of e-commerce. I have my online shops where I sell a lot of product. Obviously, this is going to impact those who use like the bank's terminals and things like that. But is this going to help someone like myself with my payment processing, with being able to access or process data in a different way? Transaction-wise, I mean?
Exactly. And that's really, I think, the key advantage is really to the consumers. And how can you streamline that whole customer experience to remove friction? And when I say friction, maybe some of those things that you've had to go through just to do a simple task online. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about those APIs is that, you know, instead of jumping around from one interface to another interface, you can now look at it as maybe the potential to have a one UI where, you know, you can do all your banking, and in the back end, it allows all those things to transpire in the background, seamless to you. Without having to do many of the things that are possibly manual right now. I think that's really the key thing is that when you look at it, it's really about the customer experience, how you streamline that customer experience, but at the same time, too, do it in such a way that it's a secure experience.
So from a banking perspective, it's that experience from the transaction, from the store, from the online e-commerce, and the consumer. Connected, I mean, open platforms can be, you know, one bank can use the open platform for their own purposes. Are these interconnected? Like, is this API interconnected between different banks?
The APIs, as far as I know, are being exposed by the individual banks in terms of access to them. Mm-hmm. Where I think you're going to start seeing this concept of aggregation is where you have those third parties that are going to be able to come in and create applications that tie all this together. Mm. And that's the exciting part of it, about it. You can look at this as, you know, how do I take those building blocks, those APIs, and how can I take something that I can build so that that user experience, whether it's on the web or on my mobile application, allows me to do all these things. Meanwhile, in the background, I'm engaging with all these financial institutions in the back end.
Hmm. Are you guys getting this?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a whole new concept on how to deal with the banks, and to wrap my head around it, I'm going, how is this going to work?
Right. This is very new here in Canada.
Yeah, so the services that are offered in open banking, are they the same that are offered in regular banking?
I think that's going to be really the first step, is how can you take existing banking services and expose those using the API?
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. what you're probably going to see is over an evolution of time as those APIs are going to develop. And what's especially interesting, especially being in Canada and seeing some of the things that are happening up here, the exciting thing is a lot of the concepts I think you see in Silicon Valley in the U.S., you're now seeing being used up in the banking community up in terms of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're going to start seeing is a groundswell of innovation once a lot of the stuff has been finalized in terms of legislation, because that will give everybody the idea as to what can be done and how to use that how to use that in a way that it benefits consumers.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. with like private banking, you have like the insurance on your actual accounts, right, from the CDS.
I just wanted to touch on this because we've had the discussion recently.
Right.
Don, with a lot of the data theft that goes on, and
yeah.
you know, we talked about just recently how insurance covers some of that, like if someone got a hold of our credit card, is that
right? Exactly. So is it the same sort of security that you have in open banking as you would?
And I think that's what's going to happen in Canada, is that when you look at things such as the deposit insurance, the CDIC, which is the deposit insurance in Canada, where if you have a banking account with X amount of dollars in it, how is that going to work in terms of protecting those deposits? And I think that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see existing insurance and existing financial infrastructure or regulation evolve to get to a point where it's going to take in those concepts of open banking, so that you don't have the fear that if something does happen, that your deposits or what's in your account is going to be at risk.
Okay. One of the things that really troubles me when I go to the bank, I know it's a silly thing, and maybe this is just me being picky, but I have a lot of bank cards. I've got my Visa. I've got like a portfolio of cards that here's my business banking card. Here's my debit card. Can an API, so understand, for those viewers who aren't familiar with an API, this is an application programming interface that securely allows multiple interfaces to communicate and share transaction information, user information, those kinds of things. Can this be used for, say, consolidation of cards and consolidation of services and things like that?
Exactly. And I think that's, to your point, when I look at my wallet, I have a big wad of plastic mm-hmm. still, even though I have mobile applications. And that's where there are market opportunities, I believe. And that's where it's exciting to be in the banking world, especially in Canada, exciting to see a lot of these smaller companies and the startup mentality happening up in the Toronto and Canadian areas, cosmopolitan areas, and seeing, you know, how can we take those APIs, build something with it, and then present it in the form of an application where I can have this consolidated view right. and essentially get rid of maybe that plastic that I have in my wallet.
Okay.
Would it matter, like, internationally? Could you have American accounts, or can you load up in Canada?
Yeah, because we're kind of talking specifically about Canada here.
Yeah, but what about international?
I think that's what's going to end up happening, especially over time, is that as there are systems developed in the respective countries, whether it's in the EU or there's discussion about it in the US in regards to their version of open banking. We're looking at our open banking. Each is going to be doing its own thing for its respective consumer area, and then I wouldn't surprise me if at some point they're all going to join together in some form. So that, to your point, it's just going to be a seamless interaction. As if I happen to be in Buffalo, New York, and then I top up there, and then I come across the border and I go to Niagara Falls, Ontario, then you know what? It's just a seamless process. I don't have to worry what side of the border I'm on.
Yeah, and that raises an interesting point or an interesting concern in that what happens if somebody gets a hold of the API and is able to maybe man-in-the-middle attack and find the keys and then be able to generate transactions that are false. And this would happen on a grand scale in a very, very small amount of time. So if that happened across the border to accounts that are up here in Canada, you mentioned the CDIC, the insurance that would protect us, but what happens in a case like that? And is that a real concern?
Well, the technology exists to address that. For instance, new data security, one of the key things that we do in our as an organization is really understand who the user is behind the device. So to your point, we would be able to identify, is it a form of automation or is it a real human user behind the device who's connecting via that API?
Right.
The other aspect it too is that you're also going to see tokenization. So even though those APIs are accessible or called open, they're not necessarily visible to all parties. And so there's going to be a framework and from a security perspective to address exactly your concern or the topic you mentioned about automation. Could somebody, say, for instance, impersonate myself and try to connect using this API? There is the ability to leverage other technologies to secure that.
Right. And Jeff is whispering in my ear here that, you know, what if it's not a person impersonating me?
Right. So I'm starting to think, okay, if you have this open accessibility, what about the implications of maybe AI? I mean, we're seeing it now where there's AI all over the internet, and sometimes you can't tell that it's a computer you're talking to. It's, you know, because AI is getting so sophisticated. And how does that play into it from a security standpoint? But on the flip side, how, like, I guess essentially the sky's the limit on how AI could impact this kind of open banking to say, hey, look, here's all of my bank accounts. Here's everything about me financially. I want to be debt-free in 5 years. Go figure it out.
Oh.
And next thing you know, the computer's running all these transactions for you to allow you to be debt-free in a certain amount of time. It almost takes the planning out of it to give you the best leg up financially.
Well, and to your point, especially on the security side, and that's one of the things we do at New Data, is this concept of passive biometric behavior. So as an example, where you have physical biometrics, where you have thumbprint or you have an iris scan or some type of physical attribute that identifies you as an individual, one of the things that we do at New Data Security is we use this concept of taking the way you interact with the device, very much like your handwriting. There are certain attributes you have when you interact with the device that it can be attributed to you as an individual, that whether I'm going from an iOS device to an Android device to a desktop, there are attributes that carry from you carry with you. And that concept is a concept that we can take and we can actually identify or evaluate the risk of, to your point, could it be automation, maybe in the form of AI or something, or is it an actual real human being based on the way they've engaged before in the past with that API? So there's a lot of things, checks and balances that, from a technology perspective, that exist that can, I think, address some of the concerns you're out there on the security side.
We're speaking with Don Duncan. Don is a security engineer with New Data Security. Don, this is, you know, kind of off in left field, but is there any kind of, this seems like the technological evolution of banking, essentially, and we're becoming more progressively online, and you know, everything is app driven and driven by our computer systems and the internet. Is there any kind of integration that is, you know, foreseeable with regards to cryptocurrency, which we're hearing a lot about?
And that's a good point. I think a lot of things are happening at the same time. So when you look at the open banking concept, cryptocurrency, whether it's Bitcoin or even right now, the Canadian government, the Bank of Canada has been looking at cryptocurrency in its own way in regards to the ability for payment. I think that exactly will be involved as part of that move towards open banking in some shape or form.
I think what the world is wondering right now is, will it support Whopper Coin? That's really what it boils down to. You know, give me a free Whopper here. Come on, guys. Okay, well, that's really interesting as far as you know, how things are going to be evolving over the next little while. Can you give us some examples of how this is going to benefit, say, myself as a consumer, maybe a small business owner? How is this going to impact us in a positive way?
Sure. I think it's really ease of use. So looking at how can I get a financial, if I was one, a financial snapshot of taking all my connection points with my banking institutions, bringing it in and providing a view of that at one point in time, being able to do an analysis and being able to also use that to make decisions in regards to from a financial perspective. Instead of me having to go out to one site at a time to do that, I can now get that information in a consolidated view, be able to make decisions accordingly. But then on the other side of it too, I have the ability to act immediately versus before. Just because I'm trying to make that decision, I don't have that information, that decision probably would have been prolonged and to a later time.
Okay. Now, one question I have regarding the data collection end of it. If you open up, if you have open banking and you've got somebody who, say, creates an app, is like, hey, this is the best open banking app you're ever going to have. It consolidates everything. What's the possibility or the protectionary piece to ensure that your personal financial information on a grand scale isn't being used for mining your data for marketing purposes? I mean, like, I think of, you know, everybody's pushing back against the, you know, 53,000 categories that Facebook tracks you. Mm-hmm. Could this open the door to the same deal with banking to say, hey, look, here's what you've got for your bank accounts. This is all the data we've got on you. Here's how you spend it. So we're going to target you in this way. Is there a way to protect against that in this type of scenario?
There is, and that I think is one of the things that's happening, especially in the EU and the UK, is identifying what is of that information is something that can be shared and what is private that can't be shared, and how can it be used in such a way that it's not going to come back to be used against you in some shape or form. Mm-hmm. And that is the determination as to what that would look like, how that information is exposed, and how can it be consumed. And ultimately, in the end, is ensuring that you are, as a consumer, having what you need to make those decisions, but you're not exposing or sacrificing anything as a result of doing that.
Right. Okay. I have a question from the chat room. The Foo has asked if banking, which it should, supports the smaller guys, the bigger guys, like the banks, they'll fight against something like open banking, will they not? Because now all of a sudden the power's in the open banking. Not.
I think with the banking industry, and especially with what I've seen, for instance, there was a financial conference that I attended, Canadian Financial Conference, at the end of last year. And I was actually quite surprised about there's representation from a large number of banks. But at the same time, too, there's a lot of smaller financial organizations I'd never even heard of before that were doing some exciting things. And I think there is that always that concern is that is something new like this going to erode something from a business perspective? I think with the Canadian banks realize, you know what, there's opportunities here with these smaller firms who have the ability to pilot. And Canada's a really unique country because you can pilot something here, use it almost as a beta test case, see how it tests here, and then use it as a mechanism to see how it translates to other parts of the world.
Now, I'm thinking of the practicality of this. You know, it's great to have all the information on a phone with your, you know, or your computer in one location. But what about if you're going out to, say, a restaurant? A lot of places have, you know, you could use your phone for paying. It's like, you know, there's the Apple Pay, there's the Google Pay, all that kind of stuff. Would there be the possibility of having this type of technology integrate with point of sale systems so that you would just simply wave your phone or even, you know, open up your banking app and just hit the supplier and boom, your payment's taken care of and there's no transaction, so to speak. Is that possible with this kind of system?
I think there's definitely the possibility to your point in regards to, like in Canada, we already have that to an extent with Interact and other types of payment systems. The I think the way other types of payment methods are definitely possible. And definitely POS is really something, like for instance, you mentioned a restaurant. Even in a situation of where maybe I've gone online and I've ordered takeout and somebody's delivering something and they have the hand terminal, you know, is there alternative methods of payment that I can be using as a means to do that? And I think that definitely will factor into the whole API, open API conversation, right, especially with cryptocurrency and everything else.
I think it's going to boil down to as well the developers of the particular point of sale application. You know, how are they going to interconnect this with the new API? So we're speaking with Don Duncan from New Data Security. We're speaking about open banking here in Canada. Now, Don, we have a lot of viewers around the world, in particular in the United States. Is this something that we're seeing kind of grow on a global scale, or is this specific to Europe and Canada? How wide scale is this?
It's wide scale. I think with what's happening in Europe and the UK, everybody's looking at that because they know it's going to come, and it's just a question of how are they going to go about it in their own area. Or their own regions or locales. And looking at what do they have in place right now, what do they need to bring it up to that level, and also looking at the lessons that are being learned from overseas in Europe, in the UK, to understand, okay, what can we learn from them and then take that and start building not just the technology, but also the legislation, all the regulation associated with it. So it will form appropriately.
So much to think about and stuff that I would never have even thought, oh yeah, right, legislation, that's important as well. So just kind of wrapping up our discussion here, Don, and I appreciate your time and coming on the show. Where is this at here in Canada as far as, are we like a year away from this? And if so, where is the security falling in line with that? Are we able to keep up with the evolution of open banking from a security aspect?
We are. And the technology exists right now. Without even going into the open API discussion, just looking at automation, being able to protect consumers as they're connecting, and that prospect of impersonation. The technology exists already to address that, to protect consumers and catch the fraudsters who are connecting.
Right.
So that does exist already. And it's just really that sort of
Sorry, we're just breaking up there just a little bit, Don. I'll just get you to repeat the last thing that you said there.
That's okay. So taking really that concerted effort and really standardizing, and I think that's really what legislation and regulation will do, is standardize a lot of these things that everybody's thinking about, but how do we get everybody to there at the same point?
Very cool. So how far off are we here in Canada from seeing this implemented? I understand that it's here, it's ready, but when is my bank going to start offering this to the e-commerce provider and the local pub?
I think it's going to be fairly soon. Legislation-wise, it's hard for me
That's
to
it,
predict.
Yeah.
I'd be guessing, but I would say definitely we're going to see, there's already rumblings, I would say something tangible, maybe a year, 2 years, definitely.
Awesome. Don, thank you so much for your time. Please do check out newdatasecurity.com, find out more about what it is that they're doing. And Don, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a great night.